The following is intended for mature audiences only. Discretion is advised.
Thank you so much for downloading this episode of So What Do You Really Do? The podcast where I, your host, Dead or Dennis Mallard, talks to artists and entertainers, and the artist and entertainer on the program today is MTV personality, stuntman, and comedian, Steve-O from Jackass. You know Steve-O from the show Jackass on MTV, from the movies Jackass, all of the same name. You also know him because he tours the country as a comedian and a stunt performer. He is on the program. He's actually coming here to Boston, where I live, September 3rd to perform his bucket list tour, September 3rd at the Wilbur. It's actually touring across the country, so if you're listening anywhere right now, go to steveo.com and see when he's coming near you. This show was also recorded and will be released as a comedy special. Steve-O was really nice to be able to talk to me. We talked to him at his home. The conversation was supposed to be for Dig Boston. And at the moment of this recording now, unbeknownst to me until after the conversation, Dig Boston has officially gone under. I do not know the details of it, but I have found out now that I am no longer a writer for Dig Boston. So this article that was supposed to be a Q&A article will show up in print somewhere. I just have to find out where right now. But he also agreed to release this as a podcast on the Big Comedy Network. Steve-O was open. He was honest about things. It was nice talking to him. It's a short conversation, but we got right to the point. He opened up about some his life. Dude, we talked about Clown College. I got to interview two people from Clown College. Earlier previous episode, a couple episodes back, Brian Dangeley, a friend of mine from high school, went to Clown College. And Steve-O went to Clown College. We talk about that. We talk about his time at MTV. We talk about his tour, what you can expect on the bucket list tour, how it came along. And of course, we talk a little bit about his next special that he's going to be touring around the country. So go to steveo.com, or if you live in the New England area and you want to see Steve-O at the Wilbur Theater September 3rd, go to thewilbur.com, purchase your tickets. And in the meantime, please enjoy my conversation with comedian, stuntman, Steve-O. Good afternoon, Steve-O.
Yeah, dude. Have me come and say Steve.
Oh, are we eating cereal in the car? I love it. This is great.
My drive.
Well, thank you for at least being parked so we can have a nice, safe conversation.
Yeah, I'm just in the garage at my house.
Cool. Perfectly quiet spot. I love it. It works. I'm going to start off with a question that most people do not get to ask somebody. And I actually get to ask this question for the second time, which is, how did you get into Clown College? You're the second person I've interviewed that is a graduate of Clown College.
Let me guess. The first one was Penn Jillette.
No, Brian Fulton, guy I went to high school with. He was on the podcast. We're old high school friends. He left high school in 1997, graduated from high school, and went into Clown College, and then toured with Barnum and Bailey's for like 4 or 5 years.
Wow, that's pretty wild. The last class of Clown College was 97, and that's the one that I was in. So I don't remember Brian Dangerously. Is that what's his real name?
Brian Fulton.
Doesn't ring a bell.
It was also, what, you know, 20, almost 30 years ago, 26 years ago. You guys would have been right around the same time. But I think that, yeah, he went in. Unfortunately, I don't think you obviously didn't go into Barnum & Bailey. Is there a reason why you didn't follow through afterwards?
They didn't want me. not everybody got contracts with the circus. And I was not one of the people who did.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear it, but I mean, it's one of those closes a door, opens a window, Michael Jordan didn't make his high school team kind of stories, right?
Sure. I'd never heard that Michael Jordan didn't make his high school team, but at the time I was upset, but looking back on it, it was really a blessing.
That's good to hear, because now you're doing you're on your current comedy tour, the Bucket List Tour, which will be coming to the Wilbur Theater September 3rd here in Boston, Massachusetts, where I'm recording my end of the conversation. You are probably in your garage at home. But so this tour went through Europe and England. Now you're bringing it to America. Have you already accomplished the things on the bucket list before bringing it to America?
And this tour, this last leg is a little bit of a victory lap. It's the final shows of this tour. I did accomplish everything on the bucket list. That's how the show works, is it's multimedia. So I filmed all of these absurd forbidden stunts. I made a whole show out of it. And after each bit in the show, I pay off the bit with the forbidden footage of said item.
Ooh, so it's a multimedia show. So you had a team of people working together. Do you like working in that collaborative atmosphere? Are you a good person to collaborate with? Or are you, I'm the leader, you guys follow what I say?
I mean, it takes a village to do what I do these days. So, yeah, collaborating is crucial. I'm so thrilled with this show, man. It's ridiculous. It was actually at the Wilbur once before, when it was considerably less evolved. And I mean, it was a great show, don't get me wrong. I remember I recorded the show at the Wilbur, and when I came home to LA with the recording, I got our Jackass director, Jeff Tremaine, over to my house, and I screened him the recording of the performance at the Wilbur. My idea was that maybe he would sign on as a director for the special, that with his name attached, that we could go into Netflix and really try to make a splash with this show. And his reaction to watching it, he said that he applauds me for outdoing myself, but there's no way this is going on Netflix. He says, from beginning to end, the entire thing is so too much for Netflix. You know, like, it really is the forbidden stunts. And I'm a little bit tickled by the fact that I put together a show that's so filthy that I literally have to bring it around to show people in person.
Well, is there any, if Netflix is out of the question, is there any hopes of recording this at all and releasing it somewhere else?
Actually did. That's why I call this a victory lap. I taped the special last month in London, and it most certainly will be distributed direct to consumer, because the only platform that I could really put it on, maybe OnlyFans and Pornhub.
Yeah, well, that makes sense. I mean, hey, OnlyFans is looking for other content than people posting feet pictures, so you're right up their alley for what they're looking for.
Right, but yeah, I'm thrilled with it, man. It's just the highest level stuff, man. I thought that this would just be it, but I'm actually now just going into production on the show, which will follow this one up. And that's super exciting too.
So the story is your show is a touring multimedia show of stunts and stories involved with
stand up. Yeah. Yeah. It's stand up. The items on my bucket list are just so patently absurd that the story of each one is just perfectly ridiculous and lends itself to material. Also, if there's a theme to the show, it's the fact that I'm engaged to be married, and to carry out the things on my bucket list simply couldn't happen without dire implications on my relationship.
Well, so congratulations on the engagement.
Thank you. Yeah. The show's a love story. And it's really special.
The woman you're marrying is not one of the women who you've set on fire while breathing fire, alcohol fire, is it?
No, I've never set my fiance on fire. But I did set our living room on fire one time. I blew up the living room with me in it, and ended up in skin graft surgery, getting grafts. I had the flesh of 7 different dead people grafted onto 15% of my body. And as you know, these stunts were happening, my girl was out like closing all the windows and closing the door, because we live in the Hollywood Hills, and heaven forbid the smoke billowing out of the house would inspire the neighbors to call the fire department and shut down our shoot, you know? So she protects me to make sure that I can continue burning the flesh off of my body.
Tale as old as time.
Yeah, that fire angels bit with the skin grafts was the closer on my last comedy special.
Okay.
Which was a multimedia thing.
Well, one of the things, because I'm a stand-up comedian myself. I work amongst many stand-up comedians. And to say at least, you are a controversial conversation topic amongst other comedians. I'm a firm believer, and you know what? If you're funny, have fun, go out there and do this. Obviously, a lot of people think differently. They think that your shows are not stand-up comedy, that you're not a true comedian, that you didn't pay your dues. And other people like me, just like, you know what? The dude's fun. Let him go have his fun. Who the fuck cares? Same thing with Stormy Daniels, all the other ones that are like, oh, they didn't earn their dues. Do you get any of that blowback or guff, or is that all like backdoors, people behind your back saying these kind of things, or does somebody accost you in person?
I think it's been long enough that's all kind of passed. I spent 11 years in comedy clubs. I really developed the craft enough that it warranted a leap from comedy clubs to big ass theaters. And you know, I for those 11 years in comedy clubs, you know, I went around the comedy club circuit over and over and over, and every comedy club that I ever went to welcomed me back, as far as I know. you know, so whatever. I think that it's kind of the law of supply and demand. If you're delivering a show that people are enjoying, then you're going to continue to tour. It's quite that simple. I mean, if you look at my first comedy special, I'll admit I wasn't ready for that. You know, it's a great milestone to show where I was at on my journey at that time. And then my second comedy special shows great improvement, you know, like night and day. And now with the third special, you know, coming out soon, I've definitely earned my spot.
That's good. I'm glad to hear that. Do you find it difficult when traveling on the road to maintain your sobriety and your vegetarianism?
No, I mean, I bought my own tour bus, so I got like my sober crew. I got, you know, I travel with sober buddies. We do our sober nerd stuff. And with respect to the diet, it's easier because I got back on seafood.
Okay. Oh, so you're doing pescatarian now?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's 2023. As someone who is part-time vegetarian because of my heart conditions, it's become so much easier to find that food out and about in the real world now, but there's still complications to it. Was that ever, like, you went vegan or vegetarian like a decade or so ago. Was it, do you find it easier now today compared to years ago?
I mean, it just depends on how healthy you want to eat. You know, it's easy to be completely vegan and have a terrible diet. It's easy to be not, you know, I mean, you can, there's every different way. So, sometimes, I eat healthier than others, But I don't have too much concern with finding food.
That's good. Speaking of the food topic, because PR people brought this up, you have your own line of hot sauces coming out?
I've had it.
Oh, have you? They asked my address to send me a bottle, so I'm looking forward to tasting it.
Cool, man. Yeah, there's
is it so easier to be a vegan if I put that hot sauce on everything?
Yeah, I mean, there's two kinds. There's Steve-O's hot sauce for your butthole, and then there's Steve-O's butthole destroyer hot sauce. And the butthole destroyer is too much. I don't really mess with it. It's like the hottest shit going. But yeah, no, the OG hot sauce is, I'm sure, what they're sending you. I'm sure they're sending you the original, and that's really delicious. I'm super addicted to it.
Is your car freaking out right now because you're sitting in the front seat without a seatbelt?
It got a little grumpy with me right there, yeah.
You know what? You've gone from so many dangerous stunts to being the safest person in the world right now. You're wearing your seatbelt in a car that's, you know, safe from lightning and everything like that. You're wearing your seatbelt. You're drinking liquid death water. How did you go from the man that was doing copious amounts of drugs, unsure about his future, living on the streets, to where you're at now? Was it determination? Was there somebody in your life pushing you? Was there a turning point?
Man, I don't know. These days, I just live a double life. You know, I strive to take care of myself and be healthy. And at the same time, I'm genuinely as reckless as ever. You know, like there's plenty of legitimately life-threatening stuff in my bucket list show, and there's plenty of legitimately life-threatening stuff coming up that I'm getting ready to shoot right now.
Okay, is there a stunt throughout all of your years, from clown college to the bucket list and beyond, is there a stunt that you regret ever doing? Because it didn't work out well, because you got too hurt, it was too unsafe,
yeah,
or it was just a disappointment?
The last video I put up on my YouTube channel is stunts I regret, stunts I wish I didn't do. And I knew I was going to perform pretty well when I put it up, and sure enough, it has.
What's one of the ones that you regret that's in that video for people to check out on your YouTube channel?
The worst one, like, it's maybe a stretch to call it a stunt, but I was on the show Blind Date, like, over 20 years ago. And it's the most humiliating footage of me that exists.
All right. I like that. That's definitely regret-worthy stuff, being on a reality dating show when you're in your 20s or 30s. You're like, oh, this is uncomfortable.
Yeah. That video goes from, the regret factor escalates over the course of the video.
Excellent.
So
we'll put a link to it as well. And then now you did all those years with the Jackass TV show, all the movies with Jackass. Is there, and now you can do whatever stunts you want, so you're not hindered by anything. Is there a stunt that MTV never let you do that you get to do now?
Every time they wouldn't let me do stuff, I did it on my own. Like in the early days, I had my own Too Hot for TV DVD series where I would carry out the stunts that they wouldn't let me do. And then now I've got, my multimedia Too Hot for Jackass tour. Cool. Which is at the Wilbur, man. I'm excited. I'm really thrilled to be coming back to the Wilbur. The Wilbur's been really good to me. I think it might be the actual first theater that ever took a chance on me before I was ready for theaters. And it's really cool to come back and see the whole place like filled the way it should be.
Yeah, the Blumenreich, who's the family that runs the Wilbur Theater, are actually really super nice people. They're very good to comics, giving them chances, letting people take, you know, experimental journeys into performance and stuff like that. So it's nice that they've been good to you, because they've been good to a lot of people in the past. And the last question I'm going to ask you is, because I know I'm from Baltimore originally, so I'm very familiar with the story of Brandon Novak because he's a Baltimorean,
okay.
Right? Skateboarder. He was in that. I was in flying around the same circle of people that he was growing up in. And I understand, I know his story that if he's out there now trying to like, and I know he's involved with Jackass. I'm pretty sure you know him as well. And because of, you know, social circles and stuff. I mean, Bam Margera is very integral and responsible for Brandon surviving and becoming sober and part, you know, he's part of that journey where he's at now. And he seems to be on his own.
One could argue that there was a lot of enabling going on and that Bam actually helped Brandon stay sick for considerably longer. But then again, who knows, because you can never tell. But yeah, I know Brandon well. He's a good guy. I'm stoked on how well he's doing. I'm thrilled that God, he's killing it on his skateboard. Like, it's good stuff going on with him.
Well, the reason I was going to bring up that subject is just because it's very much in the media right now what the torturous life that Bam Margera is living right now with himself. And as somebody who worked with him, somebody who's a friend, is there any advice that you would want to be able to, like, what is your opinion on where Bam's at in his life? And do you, you know, would you love to help him? Do you see where he's at? And, you know, somebody who went sober, is there something that you would advise for him as a friend?
I made it very clear and that I've done as much as I can to try to help him. I've really, really just about exhausted every possible way that I could try to help him. And at this point, it's up to him. I've actually lost contact with Bam, so I don't even know what's going on with him.
I'm sorry to hear that. You know, it's tough when struggling through. Like I said, from Baltimore, I live with a lot. I grew up with a lot of people that also had substance abuse issues and just self-destructive issues. And it's really hard to watch them go through that when there's nothing you can do, because some of those people are never going to get help until they realize that they want to get help. You know, even when they, even sobriety with the whole dry drunk, you know, situation, you may be not doing your substance abuse, but you're still ruining your lives and things like that. So it is unfortunate to hear. And, you know, it's sad to hear that two friends who, you know, you guys are Jackass. You were on the road together. You guys did everything together. You're like you're more than an ensemble. You guys were brothers in arms. And it's very troubling to hear that some people, you know, are having difficulties with each other.
It's a tough one, man. You know, I've always said I'm here to help him if he ever wants to get better, but that day has not come yet.
Awesome. All right. And so we got a new, we're touring the bucket list, and we have another one in the works coming out soon. You have two books under your belt already. What else is there left for you to do out there that you have coming in the future?
I'm super focused on what I'm doing with this next multimedia show. We'll see where that takes me. We're in the middle of buying a property, my fiance and I, to get married on and start an animal sanctuary. So that's likely to be a big nonprofit organization that we give a lot of our attention to, and maybe we just retire on a ranch. Who knows?
That's nice to hear that you're going to be giving animals a place, a safe sanctuary place for them, especially since you are a huge advocate for animal rights. So, all right.
Yeah,
Steve-O,
yeah, man.
It was great talking to you. This is the question I always love to ask people. Is there ever been a question in all the years of interviews that no one has ever asked you that you wanted to always be asked?
I don't know. If there was a question I really wanted to be asked, I'm sure I would steer the conversation to it.
I like that.
So I'd love to be asked, you know, like, how excited am I for the Wilbur? What day is it?
September 3rd, right here at the Wilbur Theater in Boston.
There we go. Yeah, get your tickets and we'll see you guys at the Wilbur Theater on September 3rd.
It was great talking to you. I'll see you on the 3rd. And take care of yourself.
Will do, brother. Thanks, man. You too.
Bye.
All right.